What's up, party people? Boom, shakalaka. How's it going? Everybody okay out there? I feel like Wolfman Jack. Nobody probably remembers that reference, but I remember listening to Wolfman Jack on the radio when I was a little kid. Cruising around, he was an epic DJ. Anyway, I hope you guys are well. Good morning. Welcome. Sarah, happy birthday. Happy day after birthday. You guys, it's going to be a great night. I was literally, I'm going to say it, I was in the bed and I told Linda, I said, you might have to make a post for me that says the insomniac has fallen asleep. But I'm here. Basically, we got Grand Funk Railroad in the background. I don't know if you know that band. We'll talk about that briefly. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well. I decided to put on a different hat tonight so that you would know this is a different episode. Because I'm pretty sure I'm wearing the same shirt today as I was yesterday. What's up, yo? How you doing? Josh Fultz. Jello, baby. You know, Mark Farner's the lead singer for Grand Funk Railroad, and I just thought to get things going tonight, I was going to show you one of the most epic record covers out there. It's like, I feel like this is like a Spinal Tap record cover. All the girls in the world, beware. That's literally the title of the record. Yeah. I mean, where was management? Somebody that came along and said, you know, this isn't your best idea. You can come up with a better idea. Alexa, next song. Here's the back cover. Yeah. All the girls in the world, beware. Nothing says music like a guy in a Speedo flexing muscles. Yeah. Alexa, stop. All right, let's get this party started. It's great to be with you tonight. Honestly, I have a couple things that are going to be pretty funny, and then who knows? I don't think I'm going to go along tonight. I say that every night, and then it's about 40 minutes later. So if you fall asleep in the middle of it, no big whoops. That's cool. It's been a good day today. We had some people drop off for free 3 truckloads of pavers. It's pretty awesome. So I'm not sure what project Linda has, but she finagled it out of somebody, and they came and they just dropped it off. And so we're going to go after that and try to beautify the Happy Place Homestead. That's going to be pretty cool. So I know when you look at this cover, you probably think, wow, that looks a lot like Chris Padgett. And, you know, I don't blame you for thinking that. I mean, I'm pretty athletic. A lot of people said that about me throughout most of my life. You know, there goes an athletic kid. That kid has athlete's feet. And, So yeah, and I've been lifting some weights. Basically, I've been in the room, you know, crushing it with the iron pounds. I really don't even know what the language is somebody would say when they're lifting weights. You know, I'm crushing the iron. I'm lifting the lbs. I'm burning the calories. It's something like that, right? I'm super hip. When it comes to workout language, as you can tell, I'm super hip. I want to tell you, this is a true story. I was living at the time in the metropolis of Chamberlain, South Dakota. And I don't know if Jennifer's on yet, but her dad was the coach for football. I want to say he was also the coach for wrestling. And if she comes on tonight, I'm going to try to verify this because it's a real true story. So in South Dakota, I know you're looking at me and you're thinking, Chris, you're so ruggedly built. Like, your physique is, you're like Adonis. And don't ask me to tell you who Adonis is, but I'm pretty sure it's like a Greek god or something. Or goddess. Sometimes I have a very feminine body. But here's the thing. So, I must have been 16 or 15. I'm going with 15. I would have been maybe I was in 8th grade or 9th grade. And I decided that I was going to try out for wrestling. Maybe I was in 6th, maybe I was 16. So maybe I was, nobody cares. Nobody literally cares. So let's move on. So I decided I was going to join the wrestling team, okay? And one of the things that they told me in order to be on the, you know, wrestling team, a part of that regiment was working out. Now, if you would have said to me, Chris, what's working out? I'm going to tell you right now that in my understanding of workouts, lifting weights was probably not like top of the tier. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like I was like, you know, I can't wait to work out. And honestly, had I seen weights before? Yes, I had. I'd seen them before. And so long story longer, you know, you join the weight or you join the wrestling team, you're going to have to go work out. And then back in those days, you would try to do everything you could to get skinny. Because here's the secret to wrestling. You have to have zero body fat. First of all, there's a problem for me. Let's just be honest. Secondly, you have to have zero body fat because you have to get to the lowest weight group you can get to in order to beat some kid there. Because your normal weight has like a monster that you have to wrestle. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like you could say, oh, I'll just drop 5 pounds. No big deal. No, you won't. Because the guy who's like 7 feet tall in the ninth grade and weighs like 200 pounds is gonna, he's dropped already like 40 pounds and he's gonna eat you. And so you have to, like, to avoid sudden death, you have to basically spit in a cup and try to, you know, sweat out every calorie possible in order to survive. Now, I know you're thinking, Chris, I'm so glad you're sharing this with me because obviously you're such an expert in all things athletic. And the answer is, yeah, no duh, okay? I'm giving you the lay of the land. This is it. I don't mess around. When I give you information every night, I'm dropping truth like they're truth bombs. They're just explosive knowledge. That's what's happening here. All right. So anyway, this is, again, I'm not making this stuff up. So I joined the wrestling team and I realized all these kids that basically could destroy me on the playground are already skinnier than I am. What I should have done, nobody told me this. Somebody should have said, Chris, just get fat. You already are on that journey towards gaining weight. Just do it now. And all of the people that you can't beat, they're dropping weight. You get as fat as you can, and then you go out there and just pray to God you can roll on someone, and then you can crush them, and you'll win. You'll win, okay? Because if you get fat enough, nobody can move you. Nobody gave me that advice. So I'm doing what everybody else is doing. Right now, if you out there and you have kids that are wrestling, which you don't because nobody can do anything. We're all trapped inside our freaking house. But one day when we get back to civilization and we can watch two grown boys like sweat all over each other and all that, then this is the advice for them. Say bulk the heck up. Like eat like everything you possibly can, and then you will be so fat, nobody will be able to push you down. Basically, you're going for the sumo look. That's what you're going for, the sumo look, okay? So anyways, I'm doing what everybody else is doing, okay? I'm dropping weight. And by dropping weight, I dropped like a few pounds, and then I thought I was dying. But then they said, you know, you got to lift weights. You got to bulk up. And so I went early to the weight room right off of the wrestling room. I swear to you, I don't know who was with me, but it would have been somebody like Sean Powers or somebody. So I went to the weight room. Maybe it was Kelly Kane. Who knows? I don't think he wrestled, though. So whatever. It doesn't matter. Again, I'm getting lost in details you don't care about. I know. I'm moving along. So I go to the weight room, and let me just say this for you, but I crushed it, okay? Like, whatever the weights were, I'm like, just throw it on. I got this. Bam, pow, like bench pressing, I'm curling things, I'm bulking, and all I basically think is I'm invincible at this point. I'm unstoppable, okay? And I was. It was amazing. I thought I could just do this all freaking day. Okay. And by the time I got home to shower, I was like a velociraptor. I couldn't lift. I was like a Tyrannosaurus preemie Rex. I couldn't lift my hands up. I couldn't even get my head down enough to wash my hair. I had ripped every possible muscle in my chest, in my arms, in my legs. I was in so much terrifying pain that I just realized something. I don't think I'll work out like that ever again. And so wrestling season begins. I dropped enough weight to basically feel like I can barely walk, which apparently is the proper weight. And I'll never forget. I only remember two matches that I wrestled, and I probably blocked whatever I could from my mind because of the singlet alone. The singlet alone probably was enough to guarantee that I would need therapy in the future. I'm just going to say that right now. Dressing up a kid in a singlet is an opportunity for them to basically be tormented for the rest of their life. Back then, too, all the guys would shower in the same freaking, like, shower room. So, yeah, that's haunting. But moving on. Maybe that was just where we grew up. I'm talking about my wrestling days, okay, people? And, you know, this is just real personal. Okay, it all started with Mark Farner and the Grand Funk Railroad with their classic album, All the Girls in the World, Beware. Okay, All the Girls in the World, Beware. Speedos, that was a thing. Okay, so here's the truth. So I only remember two matches in my wrestling career. Here's the first. This is true. First of all, it seems like you have to wrestle the human being that you're up against forever. Like, it is the most exhausting, like, 15 hours, it feels like, ever. And in fact, it's only a matter of seconds, and you're out there, and I must have done something accidentally right, because I noticed that I was winning with points. This was not, if you said to me, Chris, how did you take him down, or how did you get that point? I'm not even sure I could have told you what I did to get the point. But at some point I realized, if I just lie on top of this guy, I'm going to win the match. And as I'm pressing the entirety of young Chris Padgett on this poor soul, I had this literal feeling, I'm gonna throw up all over him. And it took everything I had not to hurl all over my opponent. I ended up winning the match. It was a miracle. That's all I remember. Not how I won, but that I won, and in the process, I did not puke on him. The second match was over faster than I could even get a memory for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I went out and it was over. He obviously knew how to wrestle. I knew how to eat. That's it. I just needed to tell you that. Alexa, play Creedence Clearwater Revival. Now, here's another record cover. Okay.
Sorry. I'm not sure about that.
Alexa, freaking obey me. Gosh, what a wench.
I don't know that.
Alexa, play Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Shuffling songs by Creedence Clearwater
Revival. This is a cool record cover. All right. Now, here's the thing. I can relate to some of these guys. Basically, one. Just one guy. Him. Here he is on the front. Here's the reason. Alexa, stop. He's the only one who can't grow facial hair. Everybody else here looks like a freaking cast member for Grizzly Adams. Yeah. Everybody there has been like in freaking No Shave November since they were like in fifth grade. This is what I'm saying. I just love listening to these old bands. Here's the cool thing. Interesting thing about Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad is that Mark Farner had a conversion experience. He became a pretty outspoken Christian. And he had a famous song called Some Kind of Wonderful. Some Kind of Wonderful. Well, he ended up using that kind of main melody and idea. I think that's the song he was doing where he changed the lyrics to like a Jesus lyric. And so Mark Farner came out with a solo project. And I want to say it was sometime in the like the late 80s, maybe. The late 80s, super early 90s. But I had that. I had his Christian record, actually. And I had not been as familiar with his rock and roll career. But anyway, I have one other record. I guess I'm doing my record stuff first, but whatever. And then I'm going to jump into a funny story. I mean, I think the wrestling story is pretty funny anyway, but whatever. So here it is. Neil Diamond, man. Look. Neil Diamond messed with his Sweet Caroline song. I don't know if you saw that. It was on Facebook, and he did a remake of it where, like, instead of saying, like, touching me, touching you, you know, he changed the words to fit the coronavirus scenario, which was kind of funny. But his voice is still so solid, honestly, after all these years, you know. I still like Neil Diamond. I think Neil Diamond's voice is amazing. And when I was probably, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, I can't remember, but that's... I remember watching on like television or something, The Jazz Singer, which was a cool adaptation of him as a, obviously as a jazz singer and his songs. And then of course there was the, They Come Into America. When I think we probably sang some of his stuff. That's when the song, Love on the Rocks, ain't no surprise. Pour me a drink and I'll tell you some lies. You're skinny. So anyway, those are good songs. I think we sang that song in choir, Love on the Rocks, which is pretty funny that that's the song that we sang in choir. I think I had one other, but let's look. Yes, yes, one last monster of a record. The Monkees. Oh my gosh, please. I loved this. This music. I might have had this record when I was a kid, but loved the TV show. And we were talking about this the other day on the County Route Report that the Monkees, that television show, if you rewatch any of those episodes, you just feel like they were high the entire time that they were filming, because it was crazy. It was so crazy. Like, it's so bizarre. Their music still was pretty awesome for me. I thought they were the greatest band ever. I thought they kicked the Beatles' butt. My dad was like, just you like, Chris, you got to wake up. There's no way the Monkees are as, you know, quality as the Beatles. And of course, he was right, and I fell in love with the Beatles. But for a while, the Monkees had me, just like Jan and Dean kind of had me, and I liked them even better than I liked the Beach Boys. And part of it had to do with the story of, you know, Dead Man's Curve and all that. And so, and then, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. So that's a little music fun. So I don't know if you have any favorite shows from when you were a kid, but Sarah's saying that her favorite show was Scooby-Doo and the Monkees. So apparently I like stoners. I know. I don't think as a kid, none of us really put together that they were in that car, you know, potentially in that van doobying it up. But, anyway, it's pretty funny. There were a lot of really cool shows back then that I enjoyed. There's no way some of them would work, you know, at all right now. But anyway. So, Wayne, thanks for tuning in tonight. Most of you don't know this, but Sarah's birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday to Sarah. And Leela, thanks for tuning in. Chris Donato, glad you're here. John Vaseline, I love you, buddy. I probably slept for like 10 minutes today, tonight. I lied down for a little while, and that's when I said to Linda, I was like, you might have to make a post tonight that says the insomniac is sleeping, but the 10 minutes did it, and now I'm rolling, you know? Now, the thing is, I got to get up early tomorrow. We're going to do we do these pre-Cana talks for our diocese. So instead of meeting, obviously, we're all going to get on a Zoom call tomorrow and talk to people about to get married. And it's kind of hard right now for people getting married and trying to figure out how that looks and is. My daughter is trying to get married the end of May, and she's completely frustrated. And for 100 million reasons, that makes sense. It's tough right now. Like, who can you even invite, and how do you do this? And so we're praying. And I think, you know, by that time, Lord willing, it'll be a lot better. So that's what I'm believing anyway. So Kim says, if you could name a mixtape of all your favorite songs, what would you call the mixtape? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure what I would call. I would call that... I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to my music style. So a lot of songs, you know, just hit me because maybe the message is pretty powerful, or it takes me back to a time. I'll tell you what, here's an example of a song that I think is, I'll give you two songs that I think are really fascinating songs, but it has to do with like the triggers for me. It takes me back to a particular time when I was little. Here's one. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I remember hearing that for the first time on the record or on the radio when I was living in Valley City, North Dakota. And I was so fascinated with the story of that song. Like, I was super involved in the story of that song. And even now when I hear that song, it's so flipping like awesome for me. It's such a good tune. The other song was Bread, Diary. I had to have heard this song before, but I'll never forget. I was a young guy. I was working in a warehouse, filling orders for like a medical supply company. And, I was the only guy in the warehouse for the most part. And, so I had a lot of time to myself, and I was listening to the radio, and Diary came on by Bread. And, I read your diary underneath the tree, started reading about me. And so I kind of stopped working because all of a sudden I was like super invested in the lyrics of the song, you know, and I get the end of the song. I'm like wrecked. It's so freaking depressing. It's unbelievably depressing, but it's so good. I mean, I think songwriting back then was a lot different than it is now. And I'm not poo-pooing on necessarily the music of now, but I think there was something about storytelling in those songs back then that was such a cool experience for me. So that's just my flow. That's cool, Wayne. Yeah, man. I was in Valley City so I was about 4 when I think we moved from Detroit area down to Valley City. My dad started teaching at Valley City State College at the time, and then my parents got divorced, and we ended up moving. I started my 6th grade year down in Chamberlain, so I was there pretty much from preschool to, you know, 5th grade, 6th grade, now probably 5th grade year, and then 6th grade was Chamberlain. So anyway. Great memories. I mean, my whole childhood, for the most part, was hanging out in the Dakotas. So I have a great affection for those years. It was a great way to grow up. Anyway. Those are a couple songs. So there might be songs like that I would put on a mixtape. Only because, for me, those were kind of cool tunes that like, emotionally messed with me. So I don't know. Do you have any songs that like kind of whenever you hear it, it like triggers you to like be super sentimental, or maybe it's emotional for you to listen to? And If that's the case, those are kind of cool. I like hearing the story of why people like them so much. Like Linda and I have a couple songs that are kind of our songs, and they're kind of funny. Some are a little quirky, so it's kind of cool like that for music. Anyway, so that's my little music stuff tonight. Neil Diamond, The Monkees, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and Grand Funk. So some weird ones tonight, but whatever. I mean, I got tons of records here. We'll be able to talk about music for a long time. And if we ever get in a pinch, we can always go back to the flipping whale music, which is so powerful. You know I'm right. All right, so what else? I got a picture. I didn't show one last night, but here's a picture my daughter had gave to me. Okay, this really looks like E.T. to me. I'm just going to say it, okay? It's a pretty interesting picture. But here's what I don't understand. On the top, it says butt cat. I don't know if she's trying to say butt crack. Does this character she's drawn, does that live in our butt cracks? What is the story behind this? Or is this something I'm misreading? Butt cat. What do I even do with a butt cat? What's a butt cat? This apparently is a butt cat. Look how many freaking teeth are in that thing. Anyway, it really does look like E.T.'s cousin or something. Maybe the name of the alien race is actually the butt cats. So who knows? Oh my gosh, you guys. What's going on out there? Everybody okay? Healthy? We're so freaking sick and tired of this stuff, obviously. And I just am so sad by the 35,000 lives, 36,000 lives that have passed, and how horrifying it would be to lose a loved one during this time. And it's just devastating. So many people out there are in areas that maybe are not really that intensely affected by it, but I got to tell you, there are certain areas. Obviously, New York City is been, you know, the epicenter. Just people who have lost loved ones and can't say goodbye. And it's just hard. It's really hard. Those of you who are religious people, obviously you've been praying a lot, and that's huge. That's huge. This Sunday is coming up. It's going to be Divine Mercy Sunday. I don't know if you know a lot about that, but it's worth looking up. It's a beautiful, kind of time of celebrating the mercy of God. And what I love about this is it comes 1 week after Easter, as if Easter, which is the culmination and the pinnacle of our faith, the resurrection. Then 1 week later, we have this huge celebration about mercy. And what's been kind of cool is that for us, Linda and I, living here in the metropolis of Central New York, our church, our parish is Divine Mercy Parish. And so, of course, you know, we have a great affection for St. Faustina and Divine Mercy Sunday. But for those of you who don't know, it's worth looking up because there's some really beautiful blessings attached to maybe praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and sitting together as a family and reflecting and praying. And we certainly have a lot to pray about that we can pray about. So I might talk about that as we get closer to Sunday. All right, let me just do my book thing, and then I'll tell you my story, and I'll do a little cool wrap-up, all right? I wanted to bring up two books that are, it's gonna show you ultimately what I'm talking about. Here's the first, Carol Burnett, and this is called This Time Together, okay? And then the other is Tim Conway's What's So Funny. Now, I loved... I can't even express to you how much I loved, but I loved the Carol Burnett Show when I was a kid. And I felt like Carol Burnett was probably one of the funniest people on the planet. And in a lot of ways, their sketch comedy was incredible. Incredible. And the thing about this is that Tim Conway was the master when it came to maintaining the straight face. I don't have the book, but Harvey Korman was the guy that could not for the life of him keep it together in the skits. If you go to YouTube and you just type in the Carol Burnett Show, there's a couple classic ones. The dentist scene with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway is just legendary. And they start laughing because it's just uncontrollably funny, even for them. And I loved that stuff. I wanted to kind of share this part of my past with my kids, and much to my delight, they found it humorous. So here's my story. So when I was a kid, I don't remember what day it was that the Carol Burnett Show came on, but it was late. It was past my bedtime when we were living in Valley City at the time, and I will say this is that I might be able to watch a couple minutes of it and then I'd have to go to bed. So this particular night, I don't remember, but I had to go to bed, and I did not want to go to bed because I loved, even as a little kid, the Carol Burnett Show. Like, it could make me hardcore laugh. Well, I decided to sneak downstairs and watch from the edge of the wall. Like, so my mom was sitting on the couch and I was peering out and I could just barely see the television. And the skit, I don't remember what the skit was, but all of a sudden I started laughing uncontrollably because it was so flippin' hilarious. And my mother caught me watching Carol Burnett. And this is what she said to me. She said, "Chris, you know, get out here. I told you to go to bed. You have to go to bed now. I was just coming up to get you, to bring you down to watch the Carol Burnett Show, but you blew it. You have to go to bed now." Now, I was devastated. So I just was bawling and I ran upstairs and I cried and I thought my mom was the worst person on the planet. Here's what's wrong with my mother's logic. First of all, if she was going to come and get me, I would have missed out on the very thing that I was laughing at. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there was no rewind button. Like, it's gone. After you played it, it's over. There's no YouTube to go to. There's no, like, you know, it's, don't worry, we got it on the DVR, we'll bring it up later. It's literally gone. So whatever was funny, I guarantee you, long gone by the time she came up to get me. So I don't think that was true. Here is what's true. Decades later, my mother bought me the Carol Burnett set because she felt guilty about it all those years later. Isn't that funny? I thought it was beautiful. I don't want her to hold on to guilt forever. She could probably let it go now, but I'm still going to remember this story and tell it everywhere I go. Okay. Those two books, though, are fascinating to me because I'm always interested in kind of the way comedians think, and I do a lot of reading on comedians. So I do want to go back, though. I don't know, Wayne, if you're still here, but a best friend's cousin died Monday from COVID in Kansas City. He was 32. Yeah, and I think that's what's so heart-wrenching is that there's so many people who have passed away who are young and who are healthy, and it just seems like meaningless almost. And I just saw a friend of mine who posted that his brother, who's a brother who has special needs, that the person, his caretaker, was found with coronavirus, and now he had just spent time with his parents, who were a lot older and susceptible to sickness. And so we have to keep praying. And I think that's the thing, is that we do have hope that God is a God of miracles, and that that we will all, Lord willing, get a chance to be with our God. But it's hard. It's hard. I think what makes this so difficult right now is just the inability to be there for people that we would normally be able to be there for. And so it's gut-wrenching. So lots of prayers. Keep praying for people. I do think it matters. So, yeah. CCR, baby. Yeah. Busted because of laughter. Melissa, basically, that's my whole life. I mean, I got in trouble so much in school because all I wanted to do was to make people laugh. So, I mean, I'm still getting in trouble for trying to make people laugh, I'll tell you that. So, the last book I wanted to show is just an author that I like, Paul Dewiron. Paul Dewiron is this, like, he's like a game fishing, you know, game warden, Mike Bowditch in Maine. So he's got this this character that he's a bit flawed, but you know, it's a weird idea, the following a guy who's a game warden and the kind of the mysteries he solves. So it's kind of cool, actually. I love the world he's created, and he's pretty cool on Twitter too. Like, so if you comment to him, he'll respond. So this is what I love about authors. Actually, most authors that I know, outside of a couple exceptional, like, known popular authors like Stephen King, let's say, or John Grisham, most authors that I like or know will respond to you on social media. Like, it's pretty flipping cool. There have been a couple authors that I so love. And I said, you know, I might have said something like, well, I just, you know, ended up spending, you know, a paycheck on buying all of your books. And they would respond. Even Jim Gaffigan will respond now and then if you comment about some of his stuff. So I love that authors, most authors are willing to you know, kind of keep in touch with the fan base. I think that's pretty awesome. So, thanks, Britt. I'm glad you like the wrestling story. It's funny because I never had a kid that wrestled. So, I that's not my world. But I think it's such a big deal. And I have friends that are, like, huge, like, professional wrestlers. One guy I know from Canada who was an Olympic gold medalist, and he's awesome. And then I met that guy. I think his name is John Smith. He's the coach for wrestling at Oklahoma State University, the Cowboys. He won numerous world titles and a gold medal. And just meeting people like that's pretty impressive. So. Maybe we'd talk about wrestling again later, but it's not really, I don't have a wealth of experience. That's for sure. Okay. One, last funny story, and then I'll do just a little kind of encouragement reflection and then wrap it up. What would you call this? Most people call this like a flip flop. Or a sandal, like a beach sandal. I called them flip-flops, basically, my whole life. So one day, I'm visiting my dad. He's in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that's where I would go every summer, and we'd hang out. And my dad is a super athletic guy. He's really pretty, he's pretty cool. Been in shape his whole life. He was athletic. I got athlete's feet, but he was athletic. So one day we go to a sporting goods store, and I, of course, wanted to try to look manly, you know. I wanted him to think I was, super, like, he should be proud of me as a boy, because, you know, I'm super masculine and muscular and other M words. I'm looking at, like, baseballs, baseball gloves, whatever, all the balls, basically. I'm looking at footballs and whatever. And my dad is over at a metal bin that's filled to the brim with flip-flops, okay? While I'm looking at these baseballs and all that stuff, my dad yells out in the store publicly, this is what he yells, "Hey, Chris, do you still wear thongs?" I looked at him and I said to my dad, you can never say that again. Nobody uses that word. Nobody calls these thongs. Nobody calls these thongs. Josh, you're probably close to my age, so that's the reason you would have said flip-flop or thongs. Nobody calls these thongs. "Hey, Chris, do you still wear thongs?" "No, Dad, I don't. Cause I don't wear thongs. I don't wear thongs." You know who wears thongs? Yeah, people in the 1970s, flip-flops. But I'll tell you who wears thongs. Grand Funk Railroad. They're on the edge of it. That's pretty close to a thong for a guy. Speedos are about the equivalent of a thong. And not the ones you wear on your feet. Anyway, I'm ranting. All right. Oh my gosh. Sometimes people drive me crazy. All right, so it's funny because, you know, when I was young, they had different words for stuff like this. You know, thong for flip-flops, rubbish for garbage. Do you remember that? And Davenport, the Davenport, that was a couch. Remember that? So I wanted to try to find something. I'm gonna see if I can find this sucker. I don't know. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. I wanted to kind of leave you with this idea. So if you remember yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, but I showed you some of the perfumes from my grandmother that was very special for me. But here's a cool verse. St. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this. He goes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I've been thinking about this a bit today, and just the idea and the imagery of being a fragrant offering. And I think in a lot of ways, even for me here at the house, when, you know, my daughter helps my wife a lot with cooking, and it's kind of a special thing to start to smell the aroma of what they're cooking in that kitchen. It's kind of a neat moment, really. And there's almost an expectancy, like, what are we gonna have tonight? Sometimes it's immediately recognizable, and sometimes you're like, that smells so good. What is it? What's it gonna be? And again, just because we've been talking about senses a lot the last few days, our sense of smell, our sense of sight, music, how it kind of transport us. I think in a lot of ways for me that I like the imagery of us being a fragrant sacrifice. And I wonder sometimes how that works, you know, like how does, I don't know. It's kind of a weird idea, but what kind of a memory will people have of me, you know, of you? Was my life filled with a gift and being generous and laying down myself and creating that fragrant sacrificial offering that was beautiful, or did it smell sour with bitterness and anger? And I've been around people that are very bitter and very angry, and it's tough to be around people like that, because that constant negativity and that constant anger, it can be hard to be near. And it's like the fragrance of regret or bitterness. And so I think it's just an encouragement that even though it may not feel that way, I think the way that we live our life does leave a mark, and it does exude, if you will, a fragrance. And hopefully the joy that we have as we fellowship with one another, encourage one another, and laugh together, and remember together, and reflect, hopefully that leaves a good taste in our mouth, a good fragrance, a good memory that we can hold on to. I had mentioned this the other day. I think it's so true. Like, it would be nice in some ways if we could know this moment we'll remember for the rest of our lives. It's a big deal moment, but we don't always get that, do we? So in some ways it's kind of living our life as a person who recognizes today I can lay my life down and make it a gift for others and let it be a fragrant sacrificing pleasing to the Lord. You know, also in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, St. Paul will tell the Roman church a similar thing. He'll say, "I urge you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice." And there's something about laying our lives down and just giving it to the Lord, saying, "Whatever you want, and I give myself to you." And that can be so life-giving. And so be encouraged, you know. I'm grateful you're here. I see you. I'm praying that you can find peace in this time, and that you can somehow realize that, you know, we're not abandoned, that God is with us, and that our life is not done yet. If we can still take a breath, God's not done blessing us and blessing others through us. So sing loudly tomorrow, laugh a lot, enjoy the cups of coffee, you know, look forward to an amazing meal, be with the people that you can, and pray for those that you can't, and recognize that it's all part of the gift that you get. And in that, you'll find plenty of opportunities to place yourself on that sacrifice and say, "Here I am, Lord, you know, send me." And I hope you're encouraged. I hope that somehow or another you can find joy amidst the madness. So, without further ado, last announcements. Those of you who are interested, I would love for you to consider supporting us. We have a little mission that we're doing here of trying to reach as many people as we can and bless them with encouraging words. And so patreon.com/Chris Padgett. That's where you can subscribe, and it's as simple as maybe $5 a month or more, whatever works for you. And it would be a blessing to us. It helps us do what we're doing, and we're grateful. All right. Get some rest. I'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow. And if I don't, it means the insomniac is sleeping. God bless.